Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the entrance of your word gives light. We pray for supernatural divine energy today to bring forth your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, grant us the ability to understand your word, to perceive your word, and to grow thereby. Holy Spirit, breathe upon this time of ministry. Holy Spirit, breathe. Holy Spirit, breathe. Bring illumination. Bring light. Touch lives. Bring spiritual growth. In the mighty name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus destroys every wicked force of opposition. In the mighty name of Jesus, to the praise and to the glory of the living God. Amen and amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9 through 14. Here Paul makes intercession for the church at Colossae. Paul intercedes for knowledge and godly conduct. It's an interesting passage of scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we ask for revelation and insight. We pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is the intercessory report, if you like. Paul had talked about his thanksgiving for them. Now he talks about his actual prayer for them. Amen. We talked about the thanksgiving. since Paul heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and love for the saints, he gave thanks. We give thanks to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always since the day we heard of your faith. So they give thanks for the hope which is laid up for believers in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. We spent time talking about the gospel. We spent time talking about this powerful hope. We said that the gospel has a source in God. And so the gospel's authority is from God the Father. Amen. The source is God the Father. The authority is God the Father. The content of the gospel is the Son of God. Amen. And we went to several scriptures. We cannot go back and review all that. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, is shining in our hearts. When the gospel is being preached, it is God shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who commanded the light to shine, he's shining in our hearts. He's beaming forth the light, divine light. The gospel is not an ordinary message. It brings light. The entrance of the word of God brings light. Amen. Amen. It is the entrance. As it enters, it brings illumination. It brings light. Amen. So now Paul prays that God might supply an abundance of knowledge, of spiritual perception of his will. They had been converted. They had received Christ. But yet there is more. And the maturity that Paul wants for them is for them to be filled. Everybody say filled. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. To be filled. That God will fill them. They'll come into a state of fullness. Praise the Lord. It is interesting that people receive Christ, but after that, the continuation is left to self-effort. We try to do things. We try to live a godly life. We try to walk humbly before God and live a holy lifestyle, and it's great. But Paul realized that the energy behind Christian conduct, the energy and the source and the power behind the maturity comes from God, and therefore he labors in prayer for this to happen. He prays for this maturity to take place, for this growth. Amen. The word filled and fullness is used in Colossians in several places. Colossians 1:19, Colossians 1:24, Colossians 1:25, Colossians 2:2, Colossians 2:3, Colossians 2 verse 9 and verse 10. Either the verb or the noun, either the fullness or being filled or to be filled. And it is a significant word. Amen. We'll look at a few of those words because Paul is praying that they should be filled with the knowledge of his will. And it's not an automatic feeling. It is a feeling that is done by God. The verb is a divine passive. That they should be filled. That means they should be filled through the agency of God, through God's power. They should be filled. Amen. Let's look at Colossians 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. It pleased the Father to have all his fullness dwell in his Son. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross, or through his blood shed on the cross. It pleased the Father that in Christ Jesus the fullness should have its existence. The fullness is the totality of deity. It is the Shekinah glory. Amen. Now, as Jesus is filled with this glory, something is happening in the creation, in the created order. He's reconciling everything unto God. Amen. Right now, in his exalted state, the glory of God is fully resident in him. Glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world began. Amen. The fullness of the glory of God. And by that fullness dwelling in the exalted Lord, something is happening. Praise the Lord. There's reconciliation taking place. The fullness. All the attributes of God, his spirit, his word, his glory, his wisdom, are perfectly displayed in Christ. Amen. So that God in his full divine essence has taken up residence in Christ Jesus. Glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world began. Amen. That is wonderful. Because we will learn later how, because of this glory, we are able to participate in this fullness. Amen. We are able to participate in this fullness. We are able to, the creation is going to be affected by this fullness. So we need to understand the will of God, and we need to understand that the aim of God is for the fullness in Christ Jesus to affect the created order. Whether things in heaven, things on earth, they are going to be touched by the glory of God. Amen. And believers, excuse me, need to understand what the will of God is. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10, I'll just do these ones about the fullness because it's powerful and it helps us understand something. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. The word complete there in the Greek is ye are made full. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let me read other versions. First, let me do the NIV. It looks like the NIV is doing well in Colossians. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. In Christ, the fullness of deity lives in a tangible form, in a demonstrable form, in bodily form. Amen. The fullness of deity dwells in Christ Jesus. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. We have been given what? Fullness. We have been given what? We have been given what? Fullness. Fullness. No, the King James says, and ye are made complete in him. But we have been given fullness. The fullness, the divine glory, the totality of God, the totality of deity, finds its existence in Christ. In him, we have been given fullness. I like it in the Amplified. For in him, the fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. It gives complete expression. Complete expression of the divine nature. Amen. And you have been made full. Having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. He is the head of all rule and authority, and of every angelic principality and power. You too are filled with the Godhead. Amen. You are filled. You are being filled right now. So we reach full spiritual stature. So this fullness that Paul is praying for is a very powerful thing. That they will come into a state of fullness. And they should be filled with the knowledge of his will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul prays for the perception. This knowledge has to do with the perception of God's will. And it consists of Holy Ghost wisdom and Holy Ghost insight. Amen. Holy Ghost wisdom and Holy Ghost insight. Wisdom and insight pertaining to the sphere of the Spirit. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God in all wisdom and insight given by the Holy Spirit. So this knowledge and wisdom is on a high dimension, a very high plane. Now, the reason I say Holy Spirit is because of our favorite word, the pneumaticus. The word spiritual, where the English struggles to give an accurate translation, and it mars what Paul is trying to say here. Because the wisdom and the insight that we are talking about is in a very powerful dimension. It's in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not the wisdom of men, but it is Holy Ghost wisdom. We have said many times that the word pneumaticus, the word translated spiritual, comes from the Greek word pneumaticus. It's an adjective for the Spirit. It has a possessive sense to it. So when we say something is pneumaticus, it means it properly and essentially belongs to the dimension and the realm of the Holy Spirit. It properly, it essentially belongs to the realm of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wisdom that we are talking about is wisdom that belongs to the realm of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Insight that belongs to the realm of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pneumaticus. Spiritual wisdom. Spiritual insight. Wow. We need this. We need Holy Spirit insight. You know, God gave to Daniel and others insight. The Apostle Paul had insight, revelation, understanding. So the knowledge of God's will for believers should come through wisdom, Holy Spirit wisdom, and Holy Spirit insight. Amen. You know, the things concerning the Holy Spirit, Paul is a Holy Spirit person. If we really want to understand the contrast of this, of Holy Spirit wisdom, we are not talking about a contrast as in earthly wisdom or even natural wisdom. The contrast of pneumaticus here is fleshly wisdom. Wisdom and insight that pertains to this present age, this present evil world. So Paul is saying that we're not dealing here with the wisdom of mankind. We are dealing with the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Wisdom that is poured out in the last days. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So it has an eschatological touch, that is, a touch of the last days. It's a special realm of wisdom. Believers must understand that. Praise the Lord. You see, in the Old Testament, the law was how they experienced the knowledge of God. And so they had, you know, they enjoyed certain things because the law would give them the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His will. Paul is saying that we should go beyond that. We can understand the knowledge of His will through Holy Spirit insight. Amen. You know, in the Psalms 40 and 8, you don't have to turn there, but the psalmist says that, I desire to do thy will because your law is in my heart. I delight to do that, your will. Why? Because your law is in my heart. Praise the Lord. Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit will give us something directly from heaven. Amen. Remember, His gospel comes from heaven. And His gospel, He speaks about it as a mystery. But He says that we have preached the gospel, you've been born again, but you will have to understand more about the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will give you insight, understanding into this gospel. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to give you understanding into the will of God, the things of God. God has things that He wants to do in your life, and the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Later on, we will see how He challenges them. For instance, in Colossians 2 and 23, there's a contrast to the kind of wisdom that, you know, people believe in. So I'll read from verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not. You see, when we died with Christ, we moved into a whole new realm. So these ordinances, which are related to the rudiments, the stoichia, the elemental forces, because the law is related to that, is of this dimension. If you are a son of God, a daughter of God, there is a whole new realm of power. Amen. He says, why are you still dealing with these elementary teachings? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, in humility, in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. Paul says, I don't want an appearance of wisdom. We want Holy Spirit wisdom. Amen. An appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, New American Translation says, in self-abasement, in severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. It cannot deal with the flesh. The kind of wisdom is earthly. It cannot deal with the flesh. It cannot deal with man's fallenness. That's the wisdom that some of these false teachers were preaching. So Paul writes the letter of Colossians to deal with those false teachings. So he hits the thing right from the word go, that what you need is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amen. You need to be filled with it. You need to be filled. God has to fill you. That is a way to true Christian maturity. We've got to pray and ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will. Amen. I mean, the knowledge of God is powerful. Because, you know, the Jews understood that God's active purpose determined the ordering of the universe. And it lies behind events of the earth. It shapes consequences. So it's important to know the will of God. Because the will of God will help shape human conduct according to the will of God. Because when we know the will of God, we know that there are consequences, the judgment of God. Our lives are shaped. Praise the Lord. But now we know the will of God immediately. And so we can sort of run away from certain things. Let's look at a few scriptures about the will of God. Usually you find that the scriptures about the will of God deal with either holiness or an expression of thanksgiving to experience the will of God. We'll read some scriptures very quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, where it says that do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Of course, it begins by Paul beseeching us by the mercies of God that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is our reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to shape you. Don't allow the world to cast you into a mold. Too much of internet, too much of worldly things can shape, because there's a force flowing in the world and it can shape people. It can shape including believers. So don't do that. But rather undergo a metamorphosis. Be transformed. The same transformation that occurred on the Mount of Transfiguration. Be ye transfigured. Amen. The earthly can take on the supernatural dimension. He says, allow your being to be transfigured, just like Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. Be transformed how? Renewing of your mind. So, Let new thought patterns enter. Believe the promises of God. Let revelation shape you. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Not I, but Christ, who lives in me. Amen. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We live by the faith of the Son of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. The condemnation that happened to the old humanity is past. I live in the Spirit. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I live in a new dimension. You live in a new dimension. Let these things govern your life. Govern your mind. Allow your mind to be renewed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Let these things change your mind. As your mind is changed, and the word of God takes you into that Holy Spirit dimension, you go through a transfiguration within your mind. Amen. You will have that powerful mind of Christ. Amen. You walk in victory. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, the will. Oh, I actually didn't finish Romans chapter 2 because I didn't get to. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. For what purpose? Only then, in that state of renewal, you'll be able to prove God's will, the good and acceptable will of God. Amen. Your mind, if the mind is not renewed, how can you really perceive the will of God? You find that the will of God is good for your life. Amen. When the mind is renewed, you will walk in a realm where you know the will of God and you know that it's good, it's acceptable, it is perfect. Praise the Lord. But the mind must be renewed. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Oh my God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. Say, my sanctification. This is the will of God. Say, my sanctification. So when I say it, respond, my son. This is the will of God. My So what is the will of God? My sanctification. My sanctification. The word sanctification means being made holy. Amen. Sanctification, a process of being made holy. Amen. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, even my sanctification. That ye abstain from fornication. Abstain. Abstain. Today, you know, the church doesn't mind fornication. Did you know that? But this is the will of God. Abstain from fornication. You want to mature? Abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. Now, you know, I'm reading this from this, but when the Holy Spirit gives you that wisdom, you begin to walk in it, because the Holy Spirit will empower you to abstain from sanctification and abstain from fornication, to abstain from immorality. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, makes us holy. You abstain from worldly lusts. And so Paul is saying that, yes, we can read the law and it's helpful. But there's a higher dimension where nobody's going to force you. You will desire the will of God. You will delight in it. You will walk in it. You will be walking in a new dimension of power and glory. This is the will of God. Even my sanctification, that I abstain from fornication, that you abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is an avenger of such. As we have been forewarned, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God has called us unto, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The calling is unto holiness. When the gospel came, I told you that the gospel, in the gospel, God calls us into a realm. In the gospel, we are called to obtain the glory of Jesus. We are called to a dimension of God's own holiness. So why do people walk about in fornication? You know, in Corinthians, you know, Paul says that our bodies belong to the Lord. Our bodies really, amen? Our bodies belong to God. The body, you see, now let's understand the will of God. We must understand what the will of God is, isn't it? People think that, that's my body. I can do whatever I want to do. Really? No. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk. In fact, you can take this in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, verse 13 says, now the body is not for fornication. And I know I'm speaking to the choir. But for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, the body is not for fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:13. It begins by saying meat something, but I'm reading 6:13b. You know, in the world, all these, you know, superstars and all, for them, The body is for fornication. And believers, some believers have somehow, some have caught into this lifestyle thinking that the way of grace allows them to do that. The body is not for fornication, but the body is for the Lord. Say, my body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for my body. All these things, these are things that we need to understand concerning the will of God, concerning the divine purpose. Praise the Lord. So verse 19 says that, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Oh, you are not. It's a very complex. You are not your own. You are you, but you don't belong to you. You are you. The world doesn't revolve around you. You are you. But you don't belong to you. You belong to the Lord. You have been purchased with a price. Amen. You are not your own. You don't own your body. You own something when you buy it. Somebody else has bought it, wants to live in it, wants to dwell in it. Somebody else has bought my body. Somebody else has purchased my body. For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now it belongs to God. It belongs to God. Glorify God in your body. It belongs to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this, but a scripture comes to me that I didn't intend, but let me go there. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. How did Jesus understand his body? In Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 4, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. He was quoting from Psalm 40. To do thy will, O God. Above when it says sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. A body hast thou prepared for me. So when Jesus came, he read the Psalms, I delight to do thy will. But what was that delight in doing the will of God? The delight was he must offer his body as a sacrifice for humanity to come into the presence of God. Hallelujah. That was the purpose for his body. Yes. He says, you've prepared the body for me. Yes. But that body will replace the sacrifices that are being offered, because you have no pleasure, yes, in those sacrifices. Hallelujah. But the sacrifice that I will offer, you will accept. Yes. And human beings will be transformed forever. I know the purpose of my body. Now, What is the purpose for your body? What is the purpose? Your body is not for fornication. Your body is to be a temple. Amen. The will of God in thanksgiving is also crucial. And let's read two scriptures on thanksgiving and then we'll tie it all together. In Thessalonians, if you have 1 Thessalonians 5, is given verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. My God. Those who are out of line. Those who are disorderly, those who are unruly, warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient to all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning you. Amen. Give thanks always. Give thanks always, in everything. If you have a thankful heart, you will have a pure heart. You have a holy heart. A thankful heart will not complain, will not murmur, will not despise what God provides. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And Ephesians tells us also to be thankful. In Ephesians 5, it says, know what the will of God is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 15. I'm reading from 15. The key verse is 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to understand the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. Amen. So we begin to see these things. Let's wrap up by going back to Colossians chapter 1. Paul is praying that they should be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All these things that we've talked about, the Holy Spirit is going to make it clearer. Amen. But it's going to happen when we pray and ask for this level of wisdom. Amen. Our lives will not attain those heights just by wishing, just by self-effort, but by prayer.
Yes.
Paul prayed. And we pray for people that these things will happen. Amen.
Amen.
Paul prayed. We can pray. Praise the Lord. We can pray. The knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It will cause us to walk worthily of the Lord. And I explained that not today, later. To walk worthily of the Lord, pleasing the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Now, the subsequent verb, the participles, these expressions, being fruitful, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, giving thanks, all these explain properly how to walk worthy of the Lord. Amen. Giving thanks. We're going to be thankful because he's fitted us to partake of the saints in light. Being strengthened with all might. That's a very powerful thing, and we'll get into that. It's more powerful than what happened on Mount Sinai. He's talking about the fire of God manifesting, the power, God coming and equipping and strengthening. Amen.
Amen.
If we want to walk in a worthy manner, these things must take place. We must be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. We shall get deeply into this and see how they are related. It's very powerful. See how they are related and how it impacts the Christian life. Praise the Lord. The knowledge of God must come through the Holy Spirit giving wisdom. Amen. And Holy Spirit giving insight. If Daniel and others had it, then we can pray to experience it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul.